It's about, yes, maturing the kid and when they're ready, all those questions, but also as parents, how do we educate ourselves so we're familiar enough with what they're dealing with, right? You feel like you're just totally off the playing field. You don't understand the phone that you're handing that child, basically. And it's like you're just throwing them into the deep end with that phone in their hand without you being educated and them being educated. So it's really about both parties getting to a place where they understand, okay, this is what we're really doing.
Our children are leaving the faith in droves.
As a result.
Oh, I got a pause here.
We're going live right now.
How can we raise our kids to stand firm, have a faith that lasts, and navigate such a time as this?
We hear reports that our nation's capital has just been...
To turn a nation, you have to take the next generation.
Today in the news, COVID-19 numbers.
I'm Jake McCandless, and this is my podcast, Stand Firm Parents. We're working together to help our children have a faith that lasts.
And now, here's Jake McCandless.
It involves talking about having a fully integrated faith, as a series that's coming out here soon. But it also deals with the practical, the number one daily battle that our children face, the way in which the world is coming after them faster than, harder than we've ever faced, is on their devices, whether that's a phone, laptop, computer, tablet, whatever else exists out there. The number one question I get from intentional parents is, when should I give my children a device? How should I work with them in having a device and being online and all those things? That's the question. It's a big deal. A lot's riding on that. So in our previous episode, talking with our guest, John Dobson, we dealt with those. And we're going to continue that conversation today with John. So John is in the building. So as often as we can, we're going to sit down and have this conversation and talk about how do we help our children navigate devices online and all that goes with that. So in the previous conversation with John, we talked about how do we know our children are ready? And he walked us through 7 questions to help us understand, are our children mature enough? Are they responsible enough? I felt like it was a great approach and a lot of great insight. I hope you caught that episode. But I reached out and said, John, okay, you gave us some great things to get us started, but you got to help us non-tech families, non-tech parents, understand loopholes that our children may find. So that's where the discussion is going today. John Dobson is the Director of Internet Broadcasting and Digital Strategies for LifeWord, where many of you are seeing this. Of course, Stand Firm Parents podcast is on the platforms through Stand Firm Ministries, but also in partnership with LifeWord Media, and so you're catching this in one of those locations and one of those platforms. And John's been very instrumental in helping you see this wherever, whatever platform that is, but especially on the LifeWord side. So not only is John Director of Internet Broadcasting and Digital Strategy here at LifeWord, he has a long history in the tech world, knows his stuff, and in his free time is working to create resources and to help us parents, help us walk through this minefield of our children and technology. All right, let's talk some more device safety, web safety, inner kids. Again, I think this is probably one of the most important things we can talk about. Of course, the whole challenge with this podcast is, I'm trying to say as parents, how can we take our kids to the next level? Statistically, they're not sticking around in their faith. So what can we do to take them to that next level? But we can't quit the foundation. We can't quit the things, kind of mundane things that I don't know if I really enjoy the episodes where we talk about it. But that's what we're dealing with. The number one challenge I have is my girls are becoming teenagers and getting devices and being around friends that have devices and all those things is, what do I do? How do I keep them safe? How do I balance that? How does my non-techie brain do all that stuff? And so I'm so thankful that right here in the LifeWord studios, in the office, we're able to holler at John and bring him down and have this conversation. So I hope you caught our previous episode. John, you blew me away talking about, just asking the question, what age should our kids get phones? And you threw me for a loop and said, okay, let's make sure how mature they are and walked us through those steps, which was incredible. And so we're recording again, and I haven't even got that episode out, and I've already got feedback.
Oh, good.
So I already got feedback. So I came straight out of the studio from when we recorded last time.
Yeah.
And went to a softball game, and one of my fellow coaches was like, hey, man, what'd you record today? And I said, hey, we were talking about when should we give our kids phone? And he's like, tell me now.
He's dealing with it.
Like, tell me now. And I'm like, well, it's not a certain age. Mm-hmm. It's got to be wait till they're mature enough or responsible enough. And he's like, man, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. And so I think today we're going to continue that conversation, some things we didn't get to. So
there's so much.
There is.
The rabbit hole runs deep.
It does.
And it's not as much. It's about, yes, maturing the kid and when they're ready, all those questions. But also as parents, how do we educate ourselves so we're familiar enough with what they're dealing with, right? You feel like you're just totally off the playing field. You don't understand the phone that you're handing that child, basically. And it's like you're just throwing them into the deep end with that phone in their hand without you being educated and them being educated. So it's really about both parties getting to a place where they understand, okay, this is what we're really doing here.
Yeah, because I've got a friend who's in the tech world, and he tells me I use my computer. He's like, Jake, you're stuck in 95 in how you, you use your computer and all that stuff. And so I know on my device, I use it a lot different than my kid. Like the games they want to play and stuff like that, I don't get it. I just don't get it. So, yeah, that's a great point. So, all right, the previous episode we talked about just how do we know when our kids are ready for a device?
Right.
How do we get them started with that? And one of the questions I had coming out of that, I said, okay, so we're talking about raising smart kids that can handle it and be responsible with it. But if we've got smart kids, they can find ways around things. So what do we do when our kids are too smart? What are some loopholes that us parents can be prepared to look for?
Well, let's just say this. You may answer all the questions, and they may answer the questions right when it comes to are they responsible enough? Are they ready to have that phone? 6 months in, all of a sudden they're making choices that go, wait a minute.
That's good.
Where I thought they might have been or it's not where they are.
Right.
And so as a parent, I think it's important to remember that you are the parent. You are the rule setter. You are the one setting the boundaries. And they can either agree or not, but choices that they make all have consequences. It may be positive, maybe negative. But if you get 6 months in thinking, okay, they were mature enough and ready to get the phone, and then they prove that they're not, you've got to be willing to take steps in order to protect that child and protect your relationship with that child. Because let's face this, the culture, where the culture is running away from not just parents, the church, things that we might consider be good values and good morals, it's running away from us on the internet. And the device is a major component of that. And so it's being our kids are being influenced daily by these different things that are impacting their life and impacting you as a parent. Now, a lot of parents will just tuck their head and basically stick it in the sand, if you will, and not deal with it. But what I want to try and do is equip with some tools, some questions, some ideas, challenge maybe where you're thinking right now that help you to kind of move down that line where you're becoming educated as a parent to understand how do I deal with these things. So when we talk about loopholes, when we talk about how do kids get around the rules and how do they hide basically their activity, I know most parents think my kid would never do that, right? My kid's an angel, but we're all broken.
Well, and they can be angels. And I had this conversation with my daughter this week. Yeah. So we were driving, me and her, coming back from a softball game. And, like, she is on fire for the Lord. I always say she's the most responsible person in the house, like, more than me.
Yeah.
But we were having this conversation, and her friends were listening to this song. And she's like, and it was cool. And I think this is kind of what you're talking about, cultivating this relationship. She comes to me and she's like, hey, Dad, this may be weird, but I'd like to listen to this song. I don't know if it's good or not, but my friends are talking about it.
Yep.
And she told me the title, and I'm like, oh, man, this is probably not good. This is going to be an awkward situation. And I'm like, what should I do? I'm like, she came to me. Let's listen. We listen to this song together and kind of make the decision if it's appropriate or not. But thinking about that, it hit me just how much pressure she's on. Faces
every day.
And there's things being thrown to her
that
because maybe she's not on TikTok. She's not on some of these social media things that her friends are. She's hit with things, and it's tough. So like you said, hey, our kids may be trying to do the right thing, but, man, they're being hit from all around us. So I just want to, as just remind our parents, just remember the struggle that your kids are facing and the temptation, and we know it. We face it, too, as adults.
Yep.
But so loopholes. So our kids are going to be smart enough to figure stuff out, and they've got friends in their ears telling them how to work around what mom and dad has done.
And I didn't even include this loophole. I mean, even when you're just talking right there, it struck me this may be the biggest loophole. As parents, you can do everything you possibly can. Filter, parental controls, all these different things, being aware and educated. At the end of the day, they're going to be around a whole lot of other kids whose parents maybe didn't go to that extent.
Whoa. Yes.
Now, all of a sudden, you know how easy it is to turn a phone and go, hey, did you see this video?
Yes.
Hey, did you hear this song? There's things being shared out there. That's why I ran first to this, are they responsible? Are they mature enough? Where's that relationship that you have with your kid that you can feel like they're going to come to you with that song or they're going to come to you with that video and go, Mom or Dad, is this appropriate? Is this what I need to be looking at? Or what do you think about this? If that relationship's healthy there, you're basically raising someone that is going to be responsible in the way that they approach this tech. Now, they're going to make mistakes, obviously. They're going to do things. I do that every day, too. I make mistakes. But you're putting them in a place where they've got a safe relationship with you as a parent, that you're trusted, that you're valued, and that they're going to come to you with those questions. And so when you think about, okay, I'm going to do all I can as a parent to raise them right, but then they're still going to be in a culture surrounded literally every day at school, if that were the case, with people on phones that don't have that. You've got to have them to be able to think critically about the choices that they're making, even in that situation.
Man, that wasn't in the notes, but you're right. That's a huge loophole.
Yeah.
But as we're talking about this, like, not only as a creating that relationship with our kids that they feel like they can come, but we've got to be careful how we respond.
Yeah.
That's something that we got to remember, you know, because we want to jump to immediately, like, what's right and wrong, these type of things.
Yep.
But to be understanding and realize, and you brought this out in the first episode we did, this is a process.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Like any relationship, right? Yeah. This part of the relationship we're talking about just happens to have a device that is extremely powerful in so many ways in a person's life. One of the stats that I saw recently, this blew my mind. So the average 13-year-old American, by the time they're 13, ad technology, ad tech, your ad platforms and those things online already have collected 72 million data points on an average 13-year-old in America. That's 72 million. So they know things about your kid that you probably don't even know, about their behaviors online, things they watch, things they do. They're collecting all of this information as they grow in that.
Okay, so we need these tech companies to work with us husbands.
Be careful.
Yeah, I know. That sounded terrible, man. I should have thought this through. That's the problem with this. When you get in, you get rolling, you say stuff is maybe stupid. No, but like, okay, so my wife is actually presenting to the teachers in the district how to use AI as a teacher.
Yeah.
And so this summer she was at a seminar and they're teaching AI and she was sharing with it and all this stuff. And like, we've been married 21 years. And it just hit me. I'm like, what? You're into tech.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah. She's like, where have you been for 20 years? And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I'm like, man, I need some of those data points that I might not have picked up on in the last 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So I'm derailing this as much as possible. but loopholes.
Yeah.
But no, I'm so glad you went there. Like the biggest thing is we can do all we can.
That's right.
And it doesn't take just flipping a screen around. And so that first episode is so important. I mean, you just keep reminding me how important that is. But within the devices that they have, what are some things that we can watch for their workarounds?
Just a few things, and these are going to be real basic. Some of you might go, well, duh, that's obvious, John. But to a lot of people, this isn't. They may never heard this before. So I want to share these things with you. So here's three quick ones that you just need to be aware of as a parent. Before I jump into those, the questions we talked about, the responsibility and mature, when are they ready to get that phone? Those questions, if you don't have those and you would, or you go back and listen to that episode, obviously, if you'd like to have a copy of those, they can email me on any of these resources, and I'll be glad to send that to them. I'm working on some other things, obviously, that make it easier to get to, but for now, I know how important this conversation is. And so if parents want to email me at jdodson, D-O-D-S-O-N, at lifeword.org, that's jdodson@lifeword.org, I will email them those questions or any of these resources that
we've
got.
Incredible.
Here. So be glad to send that out to
incredible.
Them.
Incredible. And we'll drop that in the notes as well.
Yeah, back to the loopholes. So the first one to be aware of, as a parent, you get on their phone and you see, okay, they've downloaded an app that you don't want them to have, or they've done something that you go, well, I need to remove that app from their phone. You may think, okay, if I remove the app, it takes their access away. The truth is, all of the apps have a website, and you can log in through the website and see the same things in many cases that they had access to in the app. It may be a little bit more clunky, but the kids can still get access to it. So just know that because you remove the app doesn't mean that they can't get to the information anymore. They can still go to a web browser, pull up the site, log in if that's the case, and they've got an account. Then they've got access right back in again. So just be aware as a parent, if you remove the app, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be taken away as far as the access to what you don't want them to have. The second one is you can disguise an app. You can literally change the short cut icon that shows up on the home screen, if that were the case, or another screen possibly even. So it looks like it may be a calculator, maybe it's some other app that's innocuous and it's not going to be a problem. But the truth is, when you touch it and load it up, obviously it may be an app that they've basically hidden away to try and keep you as a parent from finding out, obviously, that they're into something they shouldn't be into. So be aware of that. You might even touch the screen, load those apps, and just make sure. And you may be sitting there going, John, you're telling me things that I've got to do every single day if I'm going to stay on top of this thing. I know. I get it. But the third one, there are what are called hidden locker apps. And these are apps that basically they can load that don't show up on the screen, that they can tuck away, and they can put apps within. Now, some of these are multi-layered security. You got to log in different ways, and then there's an equation you got to solve, and then you've got access to these apps. Things that, as a parent, you'd probably go, I can't believe my kid's into this, but they can tuck these things away and hide them on the phone so you can't see them. One of the recent things, now, locker apps work iOS or on Android, either one. I happen to be an Android user. All my friends, obviously, are iOS. They're both all over the place. But these apps exist on both sides of this. One of the things to be aware of with iOS in recent versions, you can actually, using Face ID, you can lock or hide apps on the phone. And so if a kid wanted to hide an app, let's say, you just long press the app. You select basically to hide the app based on Face ID. So they're the only one based on their face that's going to be able to unlock that particular app on that device. So there's actually a hidden folder where those get tucked away in the phone. And so if you're going, man, John, how am I supposed to find those? How am I supposed to get into that? Well, you got to physically have the phone and the kid there with you if that's the case, and you really want to verify that those things are going on. And there's a place within settings on the phone where that hidden folder lives, basically, where those apps get tucked away if they've tried to hide those, and you can access them. Again, though, you can't get to it unless you have the Face ID that actually created that lock or created that hidden app that's on the phone. So I've shared three there, and if you're like me, my head automatically runs to this thing, and I go, that's just three. Now, how many humpteen hundred thousand others out there are there that potentially could be loopholes and kids could get around these things and hide activity that we want to be aware of as a parent? Again, I want to run back. The relationship you have with your kid, the maturity level of your child, basically to have that phone in their hand, is always going to be preeminent in my mind. Where's the relationship with them? Do they feel like they can come and talk to you? Is there a trusted relationship there where they value your opinion? You want to nurture that relationship always. That's outside even a phone. Every way possible, you want to nurture that relationship. So with the three loopholes, if you're like me, I kind of go, how in the world am I supposed to stay on top of all of the different moving pieces and parts that are in the phone that I would consider as a parent potentially as a threat to my child if that were the case, especially as a Christian dad who wants to raise my kids in a way that they have a Christian worldview and put them in a place to critically think about things from that worldview and be able to react to the world in a way that is always in value with what Christ wants and what God wants for our life. So now what, right? I'm going to keep talking about these loopholes. I'm going to keep saying these things because I think you need to be aware of these as a parent. But at the same time, what are the ways that I can monitor, that I can put parental controls? What are the things that I can do that kind of give me a leg up, in other words, of how to help control what my kids see and what they do on my phone?
Yeah, that was almost depressing.
Sorry.
Different deals.
It can't get that way.
But we need to know.
That's right.
We don't know what we don't know. And so I know we're going to talk about just some ways it makes it easier to monitor this. And we didn't talk about this ahead of time, so I don't mean to throw this on you, but is there a smoother way to look at your kid's phone? That seems like a... We're the parent, so it doesn't matter. I know we can take that approach, but at the same time, we're talking about our relationship and that thing. Now, you took us in the first episode and talked about the contractor, the agreement, the covenant made with the device, which I think that's incredible because mm-hmm. you're laying it out there. Sure. You're not coming back later and saying something along those lines. I know for us, we have a charging docking station that all the kids' electronics go to central in the house, and we do that at night, so that's not in the room. It's not all that stuff.
Right.
And that at least puts it there, but it seems like you're going to have a lot of conversations ahead of time that they know, hey, you mom and dad can look at our phone anytime.
Yeah, I told my kids, I have three kids. I get two, my older son's two, and then my daughter, who's a senior in high school this year. I told my boys, I said, you weren't lucky enough to draw a card that your mom or dad, or your dad at least, wasn't a tech geek, and you can't get in your phone. I can find anything you do, so don't worry about that. But in most cases, parents don't have that, don't know. And so that's, you just got to continually lean into that relationship. You got to continually to lean into that device in for the sake of the relationship, because in many ways that device is not working for you. If the relationship's not good, if you don't have your kid and yourself in a place where you understand what you're dealing with and where each of you are in that relationship and with that device, there's a relationship there as well. Yeah, you've got to stay on top of your game.
But that awkwardness of, hey, give me your device, let me see it, or that type of thing can be helped by some resources out there. And I think that's where you were going with this.
Yeah, so the agreement, or whatever you want to call that, the contract between you and that kid before they ever get that phone, you're setting ground rules.
Yeah.
You're setting boundaries and saying, okay, here's what I'm fixing to give you. And as a consequence of that, you're agreeing to these things on the document. And it's a framework, basically, that it creates. And you just, like I say, you're just setting ground rules and setting some boundaries. You're also setting consequences in that document. So if this happens, here's what's going to occur. If I see you doing this, or I catch you on these sites or whatever apps or whatever it may be on the phone, here's the consequences. And when they sign, before they ever get that phone, there's agreement on both parties. And you can always then go back and go, you agreed to this, and this is what we said. And as a result, now this is what's going to happen because you broke the contract. And so you understand, last time I checked, most kids don't pay for their phone. Mom and dad do. And so it's not like you're giving them, it's not right to have a phone. It's a privilege.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And privileges get taken away all the time.
Yeah.
Rights get taken away all the time. But privileges in this case with a phone, they get taken away. And so if you break the rules, the phone might get taken away for a while.
Yeah. No, that's good. And it requires us as parents to be on it.
Yeah.
Because it's easy. And I saw this in youth ministry several years ago as I was working with parents. Is you would have parents who have been very active as their children were younger. But when it got in the teenage years and they became what I would call trickier things, the type of things like that, I saw a lot of parents stick their heads in the sand.
Yep.
And actually a lot of times would even back off at church because it was like they didn't want to take that step of like being active. I think about, I've been helping coach softball, and we talk about always coaching. Whatever's going on, even a good play and all that stuff, continually to talk, even when you're ahead, which is rare, but to continue that coaching. And I think with parenting, that the idea of just continuing, you're continuing to work through this. But you've mentioned some just resources out there that help parents or help somebody monitor a device. What are some of those things?
So there are obviously a lot of parental control apps, software, devices, things that help you as a mom or dad be able to filter the internet access on your kid's device or at home or wherever that might be. There's a couple, for me at least, that really kind of rise to the top. And interestingly enough, one of them, just a matter of 3 days ago, in fact, I got an email from my daughter's school district, and they have implemented one of these solutions on a district-wide basis, and it's free to all parents. They can sign up and be able to monitor and see and control what their kids do on their devices and whatnot. So I just thought it was interesting timing, given we're talking about this now, this morning. So the two that I like that have kind of floated to the top that give a lot of control to parents as far as what kids can do and not do on their phones, one is, it's called Qustodio. It's Qustodio. Yeah, no. What is that? Qus.
Q and some letters.
T-O-D-I-O, custodio. Yeah. There you go. That's what it is. And I have a document actually for this as well. It's something just a comparison to say, here's what custodio offers. The other one is called Bark. Bark.io is their website. So between those two, I just did a comparison and broke out for the features and the things that they offer, which does what, right? And so one, Bark, for example, focuses, it seems, a lot more on social media than what Custodio does. Now, you go around, you go, well, Custodio actually gives you, as a parent, more real-time notifications. So if they try to download an app that you haven't allowed, and you can limit that through Custodio and Bark, the difference would be Custodio would alert you on your device immediately as the parent to say your kid's trying to download an app that you've disallowed. So to me, each one has its place. It kind of depends on your situation. I like Custodio, too, because of the pricing. For $99 a year, you have unlimited devices. You can put them in there. So you turn around and you look at Bark, and all of a sudden Bark now has a phone, a Samsung device. It's an Android device, but it's preloaded with all of Bark's parental control, the app basically that controls what they can access and what they can't, all the notifications, everything's built into the device. So I think it's about $39 a month, I think is what it runs. That's a service and everything included with that. And then they also, Bark, another thing I love about that is they have a, what's called a home device that you basically plug into your router where your internet access at your home or your Wi-Fi comes from, and it sits between you and that router, so between you and your kids, and you can control the access on gaming devices, gaming consoles, smart TVs, tablets, phones, anything, a device in the house that would connect through that Wi-Fi, you can control the access. The hours they can access it. How much do you want your kids sitting at home flipping through TikTok videos, if that were the case, if you have access, or shorts, in any reels, YouTube shorts, you can control how much time they're actually on that. So they get home from school, they got to do their homework before they can get on anything. You give them 2 hours at night that they can be online. You can control the access of that device to the internet through your Wi-Fi with a Bark home device like that. That gives you a more insurance that you're going to be able to control that with your kid.
Well, I can speak to the Custodio because yeah. I have it on my computer, this computer right here. And I was telling you before we started that we had a missionary from Haiti in our home group the other day. And they had me a video on a jump drive, put it in. Somebody wasn't working, so they shot me a link to the video. And I would type it in front of everybody. My screen's up on the AirPlay on the TV.
Oh, yeah.
And I pop that link and it pulls up that it's blocked. So I don't know what was in the video. So somebody's unprotected device was had to play it. But then the other day on the report, so my wife gets my reports of my of Custodio, and it been just a simple email, and it breaks it down pretty easy. Yep. And we used the free one for years, and we just recently it's not much for what you get from it at all. It's daily emails, but she got an email the other day that I was looking at. I don't remember the word it used, but it comes across red, web activity alert. And with Stanford Ministries, did a lot with Israel and tracking with what Israel's doing. And it's some kind of article about Israel and the conflict there, and it came up cyberbullying. But with all of that, whoever the authorized user can go in and set it up where you can use that. But I'm so glad you talked about the Bark device. So I'm not familiar with that. I am familiar with Bark, but we had a device. It was called Circle, which they phased out, and they quit supporting it. Our thought was, okay, like you mentioned, the biggest loophole is, what about other kids? What about their resources? So as we're having kids over the house and friends over the house and things, what are they exposing if it's not the same? And so with that device, it actually worked on everybody's device that would get on our Wi-Fi. Mm. And so it didn't matter who it was and those things. And so that was a great tool. It didn't fix everything. It doesn't fix the daily use out of the home, but it was a great feature. And so I'm going to look into this myself because that was just one of those areas as you begin to think about all these different loopholes out there. And again, what we're trying to do is protect your home, protect our kids, and do what we can.
And here's the thing. I would take – we're talking about your kid. We're talking about their life, because things that they're doing as a young person in many ways set them on a course, right?
Yes.
Set them on a course in life. And so as you think about 0 to 100, if I could protect my kids 100%, which I really don't want to do because, quite honestly, failure teaches things, lessons – But if to the degree that I can protect my kid on that device and that phone from things that I know are going to be harmful from them, if I just sit back and go, well, I hope they don't.
Yeah.
We're at zero at this point, right?
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything as a parent.
Right.
Now, to the degree that I can control it, I can't control 100% of it. There's no way. Like I said, there's all kinds of ways that kids are going to get into stuff if that's what they want to do. But if I have an option to get to 50% and I can protect them at that level, I'm going to take that all day long if that's my only option.
Yeah, and I think it's probably, maybe somebody's listening and they're like, whoa, man, there's a couple of helicopter dads here having this conversation.
No.
But what we got to realize, what we have access to our device and online now, like this stuff wasn't even possible. I heard a pastor say, this was several years ago, but who had been pastor for decades. And he said, the things I'm dealing with daily in counseling now wasn't even possible to do a few years ago. Like you couldn't even, no way you could even possibly have access or do these type things. And so it's not just control. We're not talking control because, like you said, there's tons of things they're still going to be on their own about. They're still going to make those decisions about. But the whole world, things that throughout history people have not had access to at all is available in their hands.
That's right.
There's positive things there.
Yeah.
I think I've got, like, I've got Bible software. I've got, like, a library of thousands that I can look at in my deer stand. It's incredible.
Yeah.
But at the same time, all of that's coming. And I think it's because I've heard this pushback of, well, it's just not going to, like, be controlling. I got to let them figure it out. Man, what's been thrown at them, what's thrown at all of us, I mean, like, that's just stuff people haven't had to deal with. You can have access for one click of what people maybe, like, temptation they experience for a lifetime. And so I think it's,
there was
we didn't realize that.
I saw something come out. It was an internal document from TikTok. And everybody goes, ooh, TikTok, right? It's bad.
Yeah.
Or it's good. Or it doesn't really matter. Wherever you sit on that spectrum. And I'll try and find this, actually. But there were internal documents that were found from TikTok that basically they know within, and I want to say it was like 26 minutes, if you're sitting there flipping through the videos on TikTok, they can have you addicted to the TikTok app in a matter of 26 minutes, I think is what it said. So I'm going to find that and verify that. But it was literally minutes of time that if you're sitting there flipping through that device, you can't tell me if you spend any time on TikTok and see the videos that are available out there and what your kid's probably been exposed to if you're not paying attention to this, that that's not going to have either negative, probably will, probably have a negative impact on their life. They're starting to do studies now and show that time on phone, the videos, the activities that kids are doing, we've got more anxiety, more anxiousness ever than ever in our young generation right now. There's no way that phones aren't playing a part in that. And they're starting to have studies to prove that.
Incredible. Absolutely. And that's one of the things in our first conversation in the last episode, when I was thinking about doing these episodes on phone security devices, those things, of course, I'm thinking about how do we keep them away from pornography? How do we keep them away from things that you don't want to see, or how do you protect them safety wise? But really the bigger threat, and I wasn't thinking about this till you shared it, is just mental health. Mm-hmm. And I shared with you in that interview, I'm on two college boards, and the number one thing they're experiencing there in these colleges is dealing with mental health. And I just had a conversation with a guest I recorded with yesterday, and I'm doing a whole series. I've got them booked to come back and talk about emotional health and those things, because it's huge and it's always been there, but it's just our devices, the phone, how they're wired, how they're made, it's just accelerating this.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that phones and devices are all that's causing
right.
that.
Very good.
Man,
great
they
point.
Are
yeah.
a contributing right. factor. Let's just say it that way.
Well, how they get us addicted is dealing with brain hormones and those things. It's the dopamine type stuff.
Yeah. If they got 72 million data points on a 13-year-old American student, let me tell you something. They're not using all that for good. They're using that because of behavioral science and the ability they have to manipulate basically what they do and how they do it. That's just the facts about it. They're trying to sell stuff. They're trying to make money. And they're using those 72 million data points to some degree to do that very thing. And so they're scrupulous. they're going to get it done.
So, and we've talked about, as you mentioned, Custodio and Bark, and we think about those and filtering aspects, or maybe that's what I jump to. But as you mentioned, you can do a lot with screen time. I know With Apple, you can use their we use their screen time, app feature, whatever that is. I'm sure Android has a similar thing, and that's something that I've not really employed a lot at home, but that's something probably I need to put on my radar as well, is really looking at and thinking about that time frame. We do have a shutoff time at night, and I don't know if this is a workaround or not, but my daughter the other night's like, "Hey, Dad, can you let me have access to the Bible app so I can read the Bible tonight?" So I don't know if she's pulling one on me or not. We're going to go
probably
with it. Good.
Yeah, she probably is. She's good. I would bet. I don't even know your daughter, but I'll bet she's
good. Right. So my youngest, so we were in Bible study. So we do multi-generational Bible study all around in the living room. And she's reading off a phone in the Bible study. And she's mid-verse and it times out. right at the moment. And so it opened us this whole conversation of time limit. So
that's good. Yeah, and I think the thing is, you're talking about us being helicopter dads. Look, I don't want my kid making obvious mistakes. If I can teach them and help them be more prepared to face the world, hey, this is why I run to this whole, are they mature enough to have the phone in the first place? Are they responsible enough? Have I got a good relationship? Have we got a good relationship? Take the phone out of it. Take the devices out of it.
Yeah.
At the foundational levels with me and my kids, I want to feel like that we've got the type of relationship where they can trust me enough to come to me with those problems. I want them coming to me and talking to me about that song that they're questioning, that their friends are listening to with them. I'd rather them have that conversation with me than with the world, which is where most kids have the conversation, because the world's not going to point them in the right direction. As a parent, I want to be able to influence my kids. Why in the world would you not want to do that as a parent? That's where I kind of sit.
Yeah, absolutely. Just incredible. And because I guess I have been like taking what you've said about maturity and responsibility and talked about it in just in terms of, okay, they're ready for a phone now, but we've got to prepare them to use devices for the rest of their lives.
That's right.
And so it's not just, okay, they've gotten to the point to use the phone now, but we're talking about the rest of their life.
Yep.
John, this has been absolutely incredible, so valuable. As you mentioned, if somebody would like the resources, you've talked about the agreement, the seven areas of maturity, and you brought up the resources comparison you have. And I know many more things you're working on.
Yep.
You're going to have a website up soon, but they said you can email you. Yeah. Email you now.
They can email me at jdodson, Dodson, jdodson@lifeword.org. I'll be glad to send them any of the resources. If they want the contract, I can send that to you. It's just a framework, and you might get it and go, well, I want to add these. That's fine. You can add things, take away things, just however that may be, but at least it's a framework to start and give you something to run on, the rails to run on, if you will, to get that done with your kids. I'll send you the questions, just whatever you'd like. I can package it all up and just send it to you in a zip file and do with it what you'd like. So, yeah.
John, again, thank you. Incredible stuff.
Great. Thanks, Jake.
You've been listening to Stand Firm Parents. Stand Firm Parents is a production of Stand Firm Ministries in partnership with LifeWord Studios, created by Jake McCandless and Brandon Harrington of Dime Collective. Again, thank you for listening, and be sure to subscribe, share, and most importantly, stand firm.